That'll be Saturday at 9. Revelation 2 this morning. Jesus writing to the churches here in Revelation. This is the first letter to the church at Ephesus. And this passage can literally change your life if you'll take heed to it and do it. It can literally change our Christian lives because this is a problem with every Christian. The longer we've been saved, the more the devil tempts us to get comfortable in our Christianity, to get comfortable where we are, and to, as Jesus said, leave our first love. And we always have to check ourselves. So notice chapter 2, verse 4. Nevertheless, he says, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. So left thy first love. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for your word and the privilege to open it together this morning. I pray, Lord, that Jesus Christ would be lifted up, and Lord, that you would guide us, and Lord, you would speak to every heart through your powerful word. The Holy Spirit would take control of this service. Lord, we want to hear from you today, and we pray that we would be willing to listen and allow you to change us. So, Lord, meet needs and be pleased in every aspect of this service. We love you and pray in Christ's name. Amen. God made a similar statement to Israel in Jeremiah chapter 2. If you turn there, please, quickly. Jeremiah chapter 2. This was written just prior to their captivity under Nebuchadnezzar. And God's lamentation here is the same, that Israel had left their first love. Notice Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 2. Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Verse 5, thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? And then verse 19, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. You can see God's heart in this. He chose Israel. He created Israel. They were his chosen people. They were his pride and joy, his children. And he's saying, you've turned your back on me. What have I done? What have I done as God that you would treat me this way? He says. And now Jesus is speaking to the church and he says, what have I done that now you've left me as your first love, the one that you fell in love with the day that you trusted me as your Savior, the one who paid for your sins and died on the cross for you, rose again, gave you eternal life, promised you heaven. Why have you left me as your first love? And it's a very sobering question for us as God's children, isn't it? And we need to be honest with God if this has happened to us. So go to Mark chapter 12 quickly if you would. And we'll just be reminded that according to Jesus himself, the greatest commandment in the Bible is and always has been that we love God. Notice Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Our strength, of course, representing what we do with our time. our mind, what we think about, our soul, what we focus on, what we talk about, and of course our heart is all of us. But God's made it very clear that the number one commandment in Scripture is that we love God. And Jesus says to the church, you've left your first love. Referring, of course, to himself. He had some good things to say about the church at Ephesus earlier in the chapter, but he said, I do have this one thing, and it's big. And that's that you've left your first love. I want to expound on this some more, but first I just want us to think about what in Scripture are we commanded to love, and what in Scripture are we commanded not to love. So if you study it out, it's amazing. The list of things that we're told to love is actually extremely short. We're told to love God. We just read that. We're told to love our family. We're told to love our fellow believers. And we're told to love our neighbor. That's the entire list, except for the Word of God. Those are the only things in the entire New Testament that we're told to love. People and God's Word. And yet, if you go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, God tells us what we're not to love, and these are the things that we are always tempted to love. But isn't it fascinating that the only thing that we're commanded to love are the things that are going to last forever? And that's people and God's Word. And yet, here in 1 John 2, we're told, notice verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those are the things we're told not to love. Let's be real, those are the things that we want to love. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So the lust of the flesh, of course, is pleasing the flesh, all the sins that that entails. The lust of the eyes, of course, is wanting things, covetousness. And the pride of life is one of our biggest problems, and that is the opposite of humility, but believing that we are special when we're really not. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, the Bible says. So we see here, Jesus says, you've left your first love. He said the same to Israel right before he had to send in Nebuchadnezzar to take them captive, to teach them a lesson. And what we're told in Scripture is we're only to love God and God's people and the lost and God's Word. And yet, if we've left our first love, what does he really mean? So let's go back to our passage. He says in verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. He is not talking to the lost. This is not a repentance to salvation. He's talking to his children. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to the church. And he says the only solution is to repent. To repent means to admit that you are wrong and to admit it to God and that God is right. The answer has never been different. Repent. We need to repent to get saved, and we need to repent if we've left our first love. So he says after that, do the first works. You see that word works? And this is where we get confused a lot of times. We hear phrases like left by first love. We think, yeah, that's right. I just don't have the same feelings for Jesus that I used to. That's not what he's talking about. Oh, I don't sing like I used to. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about our works. Because most of us know John 14, 15, but let's turn there. The only way that we show our love for Jesus Christ is through obedience. John 14, 15. And this is where we get confused. The world today thinks that the way to love God is to have a worship team and to have entertainment and to have rock music, and that's loving God. No, that is not loving God. Obeying the commandments of Jesus, that's loving God. Obedience is love in God's program. Notice John 14, 15. If ye love me, what? Keep my commandments. He's not beating around the bush there, is he? If you love me, he says, keep my commandments. Now go to 1 John chapter 5, if you would, verse 3. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. And we'll see it again. So we see it in the Gospels, and we see it right at the end of the New Testament here, just before Revelation. Jesus makes it very clear what it means to love him. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God. And it's not what the world says it is it? The world says that we say it all the time, that we have a big worship party at church. That's not what it says, is it? That we keep his commandments. This is the love of God. He says this isn't part of the love of God. He says this is the love of God. Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And as he's speaking to the church in Revelation chapter 2, he says, this is what I have against you. Thou hast left thy first love. And he says the solution, repent. And what? Do the first works. Look back to when you first got saved and when every time you learned one of the commandments of Jesus, you gladly obeyed it because you loved Jesus. You didn't hesitate, because when we first get saved, we don't know all the commandments, do we? There's 150 of them in the New Testament. That's a lot of commandments. Do we have a responsibility to know what they are? Absolutely. Do you plan to stand before Jesus and say, well, Jesus, I know you told me to obey your commandments, but I really didn't know what they were? We're not going to do that, are we? Because he wrote them down for us. And he gave them to us in his word. We have a responsibility to know what they are. But then we have a responsibility to obey them. You know, we recently did a study in Sunday school on all the commandments of the New Testament. One of the best studies we've ever done. It was such a blessing to actually just see them all written out, see them all grouped together. And this is what God expects of us. We all need to review that on a regular basis. Take a half an hour and just read through them and say, Lord, Holy Spirit, show me. Which commandments am I not obeying? But you know why we don't do that? Because we're afraid to. Because we know if we do that, the Holy Spirit's going to start pointing things out. Like we read in James chapter 1, the Bible's like a mirror. And if we start looking at all the commandments of Jesus, we know what's going to happen. We're going to find a bunch that we're not obeying. But again, we're not going to stand at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ and say, well, Lord, I didn't do this because of this. We're not going to have any excuses, are we? And yet I hear the excuses all the time. So just for fun, I went through that study that we did and pulled out just 1/5 of the commandments. Oh, where's my printout? Oh, it's not here. Anyway, just pulled out some of those commandments. Maybe 1/5 of them, and let's just ask ourselves the question. Have I left my first love? So let's look at some of the basics. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing. Amen? So do you pray more or less than when you first got saved? Or a year ago? Or 5 years ago? If the answer is less, you've left your first love. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. These are just the basics of Christianity. In other words, love God's word, study it, meditate in it, memorize it. Do you read the Bible, study the Bible less or more than you used to? The answer is less, then you've left your first love. You see, it's really simple when you look at it in light of what love is. We're commanded in the Scripture to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature in Mark chapter 16. Did you used to witness more or less than now? Because most of us, when we first got saved, we couldn't wait to tell others. But what about now? Have we left our first love? We're told, these are the basics, we're told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're told to be faithful to church. Are we more or less faithful than when we first got saved? We're told to trust God in all things, to never doubt, to never complain, to never murmur. Most of us know Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine understanding. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually. Do we do that more or less? We're told to seek heavenly things, not earthly things. Colossians 3:2, seek those things which are above, not those things which are on the earth. Do we do that more or less? We're told to give God thanks for everything. Giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in Ephesians 5:20. We're told to commit everything to God. Right? James 4:15. You ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But do we just make our own plans now and not commit it to God? We're told to walk in the Spirit. Paul said, Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're told in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Are we filled now more or less than when we first got saved? We're told in Romans 6:11 to consider ourselves to be dead. Reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. We're told in 1 Peter 4:10 to minister the gifts that we have as good stewards of the grace of God. Do we use our gifts for Jesus Christ? We're told in 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Are we serving God with our gifts? Are we faithful? It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful, 1 Corinthians 4:2. We're told in Mark 11:25, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. We're told that bitterness is a sin. Have we forgiven those that have wronged us? Matthew 7:1, judge not that you be not judged. Galatians 5:13 says, by love serve one another. Romans 15:1, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Hebrews 10:25, exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Romans 12:12, be patient in tribulation. Content, Hebrews 13:5. Be content with such things as ye have, for I will he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We're told 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, be strong. And then we're told, when it comes to the flesh, speak evil of no man. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We're told to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The Bible says, charity envieth not, and that we're not to be covetous or contentious. And in relation to the world, the Bible says, Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world. 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's 1/5 of the commandments of the New Testament. But as we think about each one, does the Holy Spirit say, uh-oh? Because look at James chapter 1 quickly, verse 25, if you would. And exactly what is supposed to happen happens when we hear God's word. When we study God's word, God uses it to speak to our hearts. Verse 25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. You're holding it in your hands, amen? The perfect law of liberty. But look at the next phrase. And continueth therein. What does that mean? It means to do it. Up a few verses, most of us know verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. But here in verse 25 he says, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer. Look at the next phrase. But a doer of the what? Work. There it is again. A doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So as we go back to our passage here in Revelation 2, I just wanted to help bring it into focus. What is Jesus telling us when he says, thou hast left thy first love? He's talking to the church. He's not talking to the world or the unsaved. He's talking to Christians. He says, thou hast left thy first love. He says, verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. It's okay, he says, to look back to when you first got saved, when you loved Jesus and you couldn't get enough of him and you couldn't get enough of his word. And you wanted to tell everybody, it's okay to remember from then where you've fallen. And then what? Repent. Admit that you've left your first love in these areas. Admit it. Repent that you're wrong. God is right. And then what? Do the first works. You know, when somebody gets saved, it's obvious, isn't it? You remember when you got saved, you remember when you had the privilege of sharing the gospel with somebody, maybe in your family or a friend, and they got saved. The first thing that happens after they get saved, they're like, oh, wow, my wife needs to hear this, or my husband needs to hear this, or my parents need to hear this, or my children need to hear this. You don't have to tell them they need to be concerned about the loss, do you? It's automatic. And they're like, oh, wow, I need to know more. And you give them a Bible and it's like gold. They just can't wait to read it. Remember that? Remember what that felt like? Some of us, it's been a while. That's what Jesus says. I want you to remember from whence thou art fallen. And I want you to repent. And then I want you to go back and do those first works. I want you to go back to the time when you learned a commandment of Jesus Christ, you said, yes, Lord, I hear that, and you obeyed it. You might have had to make some changes in your life. You might have had to break off some friendships or whatever, but you didn't hesitate because if God said it, that's what I have to do. Because he says to this church here in verse 5, or I will come unto thee quickly. He's talking to the church at Ephesus. And I'll remove your candlestick. He's not talking about people losing their salvation, but he's talking about this church losing the presence of Jesus Christ. There's nothing scarier for a pastor than that, honestly. But that a church just carries on doing what it's supposed to do week by week, but they're not doing it in the power of the Spirit of God. They're just doing it out of rote memorization. People aren't praying. They're not loving Jesus. They're not filled with the Spirit. They just do it because that's what they do. That's scary. Because Jesus and the Holy Spirit aren't there. Nothing scarier than that. And we all just need to be honest. Amen? We need to be willing to open ourselves up to the Word of God, make sure that we know each commandment of the New Testament. If you don't know them, go find them. There's a pamphlet back there. It's on the internet, on our church webpage. It's in this book that you're holding. Go find them and be honest with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, this might take a little bit of work, but be honest with the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, show me where I have left my first love. And it's not complicated, is it? It's not about your feelings. It's about your obedience. If you are not obeying a commandment, you have left your first love in that commandment. It's not complicated. Because Jesus said, if you love me, he didn't say, if you love me, have amazing feelings for me. He didn't say, if you love me, make sure that you sing really loud in church. No, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he says, I want you to think about this. I want you to remember from where you've fallen. I want you to repent. And I want you to go back and do the first works. What works are those, Lord? I already wrote them all down for you. They're all in here. Go back and do those. Obey. So he said, I just have one thing, but it's big, isn't it? Thou hast left thy first love. We need to be honest with the Holy Spirit. And trust me, I've heard all the excuses in my 30 years of ministry. Why people don't pray like they used to, read the Bible like they used to, go to church like they used to. I've heard them all. Everybody has excuses. But you will not use one of those at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And he is not going to hold us accountable for our sin, hallelujah, that was paid for at Calvary. But he will hold us accountable for our obedience. Did we choose to obey or disobey his commandments? And he's going to ask. And we're not going to offer up any excuses. So why do it now? So he says, I have one thing against thee. It's big. But we can make it right with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thou hast left thy first love. Let's pray. Lord,